Well, good morning again. So, we're in John chapter 1, verses 35 to 51, which we had read for us this morning. And we're looking at the idea of following Jesus, which as I prepared this, I was challenged by and encouraged by. Especially because I live in a world that has a lot of following going on at the moment. So if you are into or on social media in some way, then you would know that life is about getting people to follow you. So I'm not sure how many of you are up to speed with things like Instagram where you follow somebody. I have an Instagram account which I really don't use. I don't really go there. I just opened it, and just last week somebody who I've never heard of, for some reason, even though I post nothing on Instagram, wants to follow me. So I've taken that very personally and thought, aren't I wonderful? And that's the problem with Instagram. I was looking on the internet at different things about following on Instagram, and I found an article on 22 ways to get more Instagram followers right now. And none of them had my way, which is do nothing. And yet it still works for me. But one of them, number 11, was to look at what your competitors are doing. If you want people to follow you, then you have to look at the other people that people are following and go, what are they doing? Oh, I will copy that. Interesting, isn't it? Why would anybody want to follow somebody who copies what other people do? What is the point of that? Why follow an individual who's not an individual? Why follow a character, a personality? As I went through the 22 ways to get more Instagram followers, one of the things I realised that really, really stood out like a sore thumb was that there was not one point about being a person worth following. There were things about how to use filters and how to compose photographs and have the right composition and how to do a whole lot of things, but nothing about being somebody who put content on the internet that was worth following. So here today we have Jesus, and he asks people to follow him. I don't know if you noticed that in verse 43, not everybody here who becomes a disciple does he actually say, follow me. There's actually some who are stalking him, which is another thing that happens on social media, and he turns around and says, what do you want? But some of them, he actually says to them, in verse 43 I think is one example, he says, follow me. He invites people to follow him. And so one of the things that we've looked at so far, and we're still in John chapter 1, but one of the things we've looked at so far in John chapter 1 is that Jesus is worth following. He's like no one else. Jesus is not the sort of person who's looked at somebody else who's his competitor and gone, well, what are they doing? And I'll copy that so more people follow me. No, Jesus is unique. He is different. He is unusual. So I understand like Kath and Kim. He is a one of a kind. There is no one else like Jesus. And so when Jesus turns around and says, follow me, you're being invited into something that nobody else can invite you into, which is amazing. It's exciting. It's refreshing. And it's the sort of thing that this world needs to hear, isn't it? To be invited into somebody who's, to follow somebody who is different, somebody who is worth following, not because of the content of their Instagram account, but because of who they are. So I've got 3 points, as I usually do, and the first one is following Jesus. I hesitated using that picture because it looked like it was all downhill from here. But it's not. Following Jesus is something which hopefully is uphill, and we're going to look at that. It's interesting if you look at the passage as to why it is that, if you were looking for why it is that people follow Jesus in this passage, there's a list of things that you could say. Such as in verse 36. Somebody says, hey, he's the Lamb of God, and so people decide to follow him. In verse 38, there's some who are stalking him, they're following him, and he turns around and says, what do you want? And they go, we want to see where you live, which is weird. And he goes, well, come on. And so verse 38, to see where he is staying. Verse 41, because he is the Messiah, which is a massive statement. In verse 45, it's because Moses has written about this guy, so we need to follow him. There's some more obscure ones. Verse 45 also points to the fact that he's the son of Joseph of Nazareth. And that possibly is a reason to follow him as well. But in verse 47, we have this interesting interchange between him and Nathanael. In verse 47, one of the reasons possibly to follow Jesus is because he knows who you are. That's what Jesus makes really clear with Nathanael, isn't it? I know you. Verse 48, I've seen you. Jesus says, I saw you sitting under the tree. I know who you are. I have seen you. I know something of you. That says things like, I'm interested in you. Do you know out of the 22 things about increasing your Instagram followers, there was never one thing which said, show an interest in people who might follow you. There was never, show them that you know them, show them that you love them, show them that you want a relationship with them. There was nothing like that. There was here's a list of things that you can do so they will follow you. Whereas Jesus makes it clear to Nathanael, follow me because I am interested in you. So he knows you, he's seen you. Verse 49, because he's the Son of God, indeed he's the King of Israel. And then verses 50 and 51, there's this little snippet into something more. I'll read it from halfway through verse 50. It says, you shall see greater things than that. And so we don't know what's happened. Nathanael was at one point sitting under a fig tree. I'm assuming something occurred under that fig tree. It may have been that there is a vision that Nathanael saw, and it was, go and see Jesus. Go and follow this guy who's going to be called by John the Lamb of God, who'll take away the sins of the world. And so Nathanael's gone up and he's gone and followed Jesus, and Jesus has gone, I saw you under the tree. Maybe something like that occurred that we don't know about here. But the conversation continues and Jesus says, you believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. There's something special and miraculous about the fact that Jesus has seen him under the fig tree. We don't know what it is. And he says, you're going to see greater things than that. Jesus invites him into a promise of something special but unknown at this point. And verse 51, he adds, I tell you the truth, you shall see heaven open up and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. And so he paints this picture, which I don't fully get. I haven't seen it. I don't understand it fully. But he paints a picture of something glorious and amazing. This connection between God and mankind that's going to occur. So why follow Jesus? In this passage, there's heaps of different reasons. Maybe one that's probably not all that relevant to us, though if you think about it, maybe it is. To find out where he's staying. Well, there's a part of me that wants to know where Jesus is. Wants to know where he is so I can be with him as well. So maybe even that's relevant to us today. But the question that I have for you this morning is to put all that to one side and just simply ask you, why do you follow Jesus? My assumption is that as people who are here this morning that you do follow Jesus. But why do you follow Jesus? Because the interesting thing is out of all those reasons that are given, isn't it interesting there's just not one reason? There's not just one, well this is the reason to follow Jesus and that is the one reason for all. There's actually a display here of that for every single person it's a little bit different somehow. You follow Jesus because this occurred in your life, because this event happened, because Jesus reached out to you, or because you sought Jesus out, or whatever it might be. It's different for every single one of us. And so when I ask you, why are you following Jesus, there's a bunch of things that you could say. I'm here because of family. Family dragged me here today. Or family has always done this, come to church on a Sunday. Or family, in my family, have always followed Jesus. Maybe it's a cultural thing. Maybe it's superstition. Some of these you'll notice are maybe not great reasons, but some of them are. Curiosity is a great reason. These guys, remember, they were following Jesus without him asking. He turns around and says, what do you want? And they say something. They want to know where you're staying. There's curiosity, isn't there? There's fear as well. Sometimes fear drives us to Jesus because we know that maybe Somewhere in our hearts we have this idea that Jesus might be able to help us in the midst of something. Isn't it interesting that in our post-secular society, when things go wrong, one of the first things that you hear still is, could you pray for me? Or you are in our thoughts and our prayers, whatever it might be. Fear is not necessarily a bad thing to drive us to God. Trials, hard times are not necessarily a bad thing. Why is it that you follow Jesus? Guilt is one that drives a lot of people towards Jesus. Maybe it's love. Maybe in Jesus you've seen a picture of something greater, a way of relating or a way of being accepted in him that's caused you to want to follow him and to know more about that. But I've also put there this morning, because I guess this morning is about challenging and encouraging. Maybe this morning some of us, maybe all of us, need to actually ask the question, do we follow Jesus? Which leads me into my next point, which I guess is this idea of what is following Jesus exactly. This passage actually gives us some clues to it, of what it is to dare to be a disciple. What it is to be a disciple of Jesus. If you have a look in the passage, we'll see some certain things. One is that you physically follow Jesus. You might say, well, that was really easy when Jesus walked around on earth as a human being. It made it really clear. He went there and so you followed him. Off you went. But now, where is Jesus? Where am I following? Did he just leave the building? I'm not sure. Do I leave the building now? Did I come here this morning because Jesus came in front of me? What does following Jesus look like now? At the time, you physically followed him. He was called rabbi, which means a teacher. And what rabbis did was that they had people called disciples. And you would leave things behind, and as is the example in our passage, so often your rabbi, your teacher, would actually give you a new name. You even left your old name behind as you stepped into this new way of living. That's right. Following Jesus is stepping into a new way of living. You learn about how to do relationships differently. You learn about how to deal with the problems of life in hopefully a better way. You listen and you learn from the rabbi that you are following. You walk the life that your rabbi walked. On Instagram today, if you follow somebody on Instagram, you don't have to go further than your phone. And sometimes you can follow an influencer, that's what they're called, and you can follow an influencer who is traveling around the world and putting pictures on Instagram in between the ads that they're doing for the people who are sponsoring them. And you don't have to leave your lounge room. But following Jesus is different. It's actually an intentional process of change and transformation that you are invited into. It was about being taught to be different and learning from the rabbi, from Jesus. That is what being a disciple was. And this passage is about people who were simple people becoming disciples, people who would follow Jesus. And you might say, well, Jesus only ever had 12. Jesus had more than 12. Different points were told he had 500. He had all sorts of numbers of disciples. There was an inner 12, there was an inner 3, and there was an inner 1. But he had many disciples, and over the last 2,000 years he's continued to have disciples. And so we've just finished a sermon series called Practicing the Way of Jesus. And we did some of the things that Jesus did. We talked about some of the things that Jesus did. Silence and solitude, observing the Sabbath, what it is to love God and to love others, prayer, storytelling, service, simplicity, being in loving union with the Father and trusting. All these things are things that Jesus did, and we talked about them because they're worth doing, because here's the rabbi that we are following. That is why we would practice the way Jesus taught or promoted or practiced himself. I don't know if you remember, but Jesus talks about a light burden and an easy yoke in Matthew 11. He talks about coming to him so that your soul might have rest. And it seems burdensome, doesn't it, to follow Jesus, to be going after him and doing what he is wanting all the time and not what we are wanting. And yet Jesus says, if you do follow me, I will teach you a new way of living, which is actually really light to carry. In fact, it's so light to carry that you as a person, your soul, in other words, who it is that you are, what makes you up as a full, functioning, integrated human being, that will be at rest. In other words, it will not be fighting against itself. You'll have a peace that you can only have if you follow Jesus. And it's in this place of following Jesus and living the way he calls us to live and walking the way he calls us to walk, the way he lives and walks, that is where change happens. That is where discipleship and change and growth occurs. Sometimes we call things spiritual practices, and the series that we did, Practicing the Way of Jesus, was not meant to simply be spiritual practices, but down through the centuries, the church, Christians, followers of Jesus, have done spiritual practices like study and fasting and prayer and solitude and journaling and generosity and silence, all those sorts of things, with the purpose of stepping into practices that help them to be like Jesus. One of the probably, he's now passed away, but one of the more modern, people who promoted spiritual practices was Dallas Willard. And this is a book by him called Renovations of the Heart. And he actually talks about spiritual transformation and following Jesus. And he's a little bit tough on the church today. He says, God is not going to pick us up and throw us into transformed kingdom living. So one of the things that often happens for Christians is we think following Jesus means I don't do anything, I just make this decision to trust him, and then somehow I just float along life. In fact, I've been told that if I endeavour to try hard to do or be anyone, I'm falling into works and undermining what Christ has done. So I really have to make sure I don't do anything. That's the way many Christians, the church, see their faith. But he says, well, God's not going to pick you up and throw you into change. He actually asks you to follow him. So he says, so the problem of spiritual transformation among those who identify themselves as Christians today is not that it is impossible or that the means are not available. The problem is that it is not intended. People do not see its value and decide to carry it through. They do not decide to do the things Jesus did and said. And this largely due to the fact that they have not been given a vision of life in God's kingdom. Life in Christ is not the vision and intention of their life. No wonder the example and teachings of Christ look to many more like fairy tales than sober reality. So Dallas Willard just highlights this fact that for many Christians we don't intend to change. We don't intend to work towards change. We don't intend to do the things that Jesus taught his disciples to do. And so, and this is something that I highlighted through the year in one of my sermons I remember, I highlighted the fact that the behaviour of the average Christian is no different to the average non-Christian. The person who is the follower of Jesus, their behaviour is usually very little different with somebody who claims to be a follower of Jesus, well, who isn't. And so I guess I want to put that to one side as a challenge and as an encouragement and come back to that question, why do you follow Jesus and indeed are you following Jesus? And I want to finish on the third point because this is where Jesus is going with his disciples ultimately. Is he's going to want them to be disciples who at the end of his ministry he asks to go and make disciples. And there's a challenge in that for us, even though we're at the beginning of John's Gospel, to think about right now at the beginning. And this is a very brief point, I guess. But this idea of making disciples, it seems that as you walk with Jesus and you are engaged with change and transformation, in becoming a new person who does the things that Jesus does, that you then are changed through the Holy Spirit to be somebody who points to Jesus through your own actions. And Jesus spoke about this. In fact, he'll speak about it in John's Gospel, it's recorded. He'll say that it'll be your love for one another that will show other people that you are my disciples. There will be a change and a transformation in your heart that means other people will see and recognize my love in you. And this is the means by which other people come to know Jesus. We've lost our way in the Reformed Church a little bit. We've decided that the way people are changed and transformed is they are argued into heaven. We give them logic. We give them Bible verses. And we tell them, well, you'd be silly not to believe. And yet the reality is that truth is best absorbed in the context of relationship. Truth is best absorbed, and that's a research-based statement, truth is best absorbed in the context of relationship. If somebody loves you, then you will listen to them. If somebody doesn't care about you, you don't. Which is why with the 22 ways of getting more followers on Instagram, the fact that none of them talk about caring or having a concern or an interest in the people that follow you shows that it's deeply flawed. And indeed, it highlights the fact that Instagram is actually just about people wanting to be popular and finding their identity in those who follow them. Do you know Jesus didn't find his identity in those who followed him? Jesus knew who he was. And it's because he knew who he was that people chose to follow him. And so it's through our love and our own transformation that we then become people who God uses to make disciples. You live out that promise of more. Remember that promise of more that Nathaniel had from Jesus? You follow me and you'll see so much more. Well, we're actually asked to be people who live out that promise of more. That people would look at us and go, wow. There's something going on in that person's heart and in their life. I'm interested in that because maybe there is something more for me in there. So we need to be transformed. And it's interesting that if you look at these disciples, all these guys who were called to follow Jesus in John chapter 1, none of those called in John 1 were yet ready to disciple others. And yet at the end of that first day, they were more ready than they were at the beginning. It's a process. It's a journey. And we can't wait till the end of that journey to start making disciples. And so finally, just this idea as well of how that needs to translate to us as a church, to be a community of loving people. So I just want to finish up with some questions for you to ponder and to think about this week. The first one is quite simply, are you following Jesus? Do you do the things that Jesus did? You know, Jesus asked us to wash each other's feet. It's amazing how we've picked and chosen what it is that we think Jesus wants us to do. He told us to say the Lord's Prayer, so we say that. He told us to practice communion, so we do that. He told us to wash each other's feet. That's awkward and weird, so we don't do that. Those things are called sacraments. Communion, baptism, they're called sacraments. And I remember a friend of mine who was very cheeky at Bible college and used to cause all sorts of troubles for the lecturers there. And he was asked what sacraments there were, and he listed something like over 50 different sacraments. Of course, we say, well, there's only a very limited number of sacraments. There's the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, there's the sacrament of baptism. And he just named all these other ones. He said, because Jesus told us to do these, and yet we don't. Why is it that we pick and choose what it is that Jesus has told us to do? So are you following Jesus? How could you follow Jesus in new or different ways this week? Is there something that Jesus has said to do that this week he might be calling you to actually do? Maybe he's asking you this week to sell all your possessions and give to the poor. I'm not getting a positive response from that one. How are you growing as a disciple? One of the things that's helpful to ask, I think it's helpful to ask if you're going to have an Instagram account and you're going to do your best to get people to follow you, is to ask why it is that you want people to follow you. Motives are important. They speak very loudly. And so is the question, why are you following Jesus? A good one to think about this week. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you I want to thank you for grace and just for that reassurance that when we fail to be who you've called us to be, that you love us, you forgive us, you accept us. And so we thank you for that grace that is there. We also thank you for the truth and for the challenge this morning as well. That Jesus heads in a very purposeful direction and calls us to follow him in that very purposeful direction. Yeah, Lord, if we have not done that well, pray that you would help us to recognize that. Help us not to hide from you as a result, but to be reminded of your grace and your forgiveness. Lord, just encourage us this week to be drawn to your Son, to seek to be in step with him, and to follow him well. Not just this week, but all the days of our life. In Jesus' name, amen.